He goes on to say in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 3, when you get weary in your heart and you tend to give up, tend to get discouraged, Hebrews 12 verse 3, consider him. Consider Jesus, who endured such tremendous opposition from sinners throughout his life, and follow his example. So the better thing mentioned in Hebrews 11:40 is the privilege and honor of being able to walk in Jesus' footsteps every day. Act like men. Act like the man Jesus Christ. Impossible without the power of the Holy Spirit. That's why nobody could do that in the Old Covenant times. There were great men of God in the Old Covenant. Many wonderful men. Elijah was a wonderful man of God. John the Baptist was the greatest. But even he lost faith towards the end of his life when he was in prison. He was wondering why Jesus, the Messiah, could not deliver him from prison. And he sent disciples to Jesus and said, are you really the Messiah? Yeah, I know, I heard the voice from heaven saying, you're the beloved Son. I saw the Spirit of God descending upon you when you were baptized. I saw it myself, but I'm not too sure now. He began to lose faith. Why? Because Jesus was not delivering him from some earthly problem like prison. And that can happen to a believer. Some earthly problem, you pray and pray and pray and pray, and it looks as if God doesn't open the prison doors and you're stuck there, and you wonder, Lord, are you listening to me? Or you can go even beyond that and say, is there a God up there at all? Possible if you're under the old covenant, but not if you're in the new covenant. No. Nobody. Paul was in prison for much longer than John the Baptist. He never lost faith. From prison, he wrote Philippians and writes there, rejoice in the Lord, Philippians 4:4. And don't think I made a mistake when I say that. He says, again I say, rejoice. That was different from John the Baptist. And towards the end of his life in prison, Paul says in 2 Timothy 4:7, I have kept the faith. I fought a good fight. I finished my course. That is the example for us, a man who walked in Jesus' footsteps, who says to us, follow me as I follow Christ. Be alert. Act like men. Be strong. Follow the example of Paul, who said, follow me as I follow Christ. And Paul also says in Philippians 3 and verse 17, not only my example, I'm not the only one. Look at other people who are like me, who can also say, follow me as I follow Paul, who followed Christ. There are men, very few, living even today, who will say, follow me as I follow Christ. Those are the only people I want to follow. They may not say it with their mouth, but they say it by their life. Follow me as I follow Christ. Look at my life. Look at the steps I take. I'm walking in the footsteps of Jesus. I'm not perfect, but I see the footsteps of Jesus in this climb up the mountain. Think of a mountain covered with snow. And Jesus reached the top, finished the race, took up the cross every step of the way, all the way up to the mountain, every step denying himself, taking up the cross. And in the snow, I see his footsteps. And I am still many thousands of feet from the top of the mountain, but I can see his footsteps. Maybe I'm only at 100 feet, and the mountain is like Mount Everest, 30,000 feet. Jesus is at the top, but I'm climbing. I see his footsteps, and I go step by step by step, and maybe after a few years, I reach 200 feet, 300 feet, 400 feet, 500 feet. I'm looking at his footsteps. I'm not worried about other people around. I'm not worried whether which way the great men of this world walk. I want to see the footsteps of Jesus. I never want to take my eyes off that. I see the example of Jesus. And ahead of me, I see Paul. I see other godly men. Not great preachers. No. I'm not looking at them. Not great authors of books. A lot of people admire the great preachers, the great authors of books, or even the great healers. I don't admire any of them. I admire humble people who walked in the footsteps of Jesus Christ. And there have been men like that through the years. Those have been my heroes. Never has a healer been my hero. Never in my entire life. Never has a preacher been my hero. Those who walked in the footsteps of Christ. Don't seek to preach like others. Don't seek to preach like Paul or heal like Paul. So seek to walk like Paul did in the footsteps of Christ. That's what it is means to act like a man and be strong. Because they are walking in the footsteps of Christ. And so Paul says, not only me, Philippians 3:17, but those who are walking in the same pattern who have seen it in us. And he goes on to say in the next verse, Philippians 3:18, all the others who are not walking in these footsteps, who don't take up the cross every day, they are not just carnal believers, they are not just immature believers, which is true, they are, verse 18, Philippians 3:18, enemies of the cross of Christ. And let me say that boldly, I have no hesitation in saying that. A person who does not take up the cross every day of his life and follow in Jesus' footsteps is an enemy of the cross of Christ. That means he's despising the cross of Christ. What does that mean in practical terms? Here, you know, we have to take up the cross daily. We begin one day by saying, okay, they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with its affections and lusts. Galatians 5:24. I've taken that decision once, but then I must follow through that decision every single day of my life. It's like marriage. There was a particular day when you get married. You say, I will be true. A wife says, I'll be true to my husband every single day, and I'm married permanently to this person. No question of divorce, no question of ever living without him. And then every day of her life, she's with him, submitting to him as the church is subject to Christ. That is how Jesus lived under the authority of the Father. That's how he denied his own will every day. And so must I every single day deny myself and walk in Jesus' footsteps. Then one day I will reach the throne of God. And if I'm not doing that, any day when I don't do that, I'm an enemy of the cross. That means in practical terms, some situation comes up where I'm provoked to get angry because somebody yelled at me or somebody did something very hurtful. I have a choice now. Either to take up the cross, die to myself, and love that person, and forgive that person, or become an enemy of the cross and say, no, I'm not going to take up the cross. I'm going to give him a piece of my mind. I'm going to treat him like he treated me. How dare he treat me like dirt? Let me give him a taste of his own medicine. Maybe you succeeded in doing that. Maybe you opened your mouth and let him have it. Maybe you treated him like dirt. That moment, you were an enemy of the cross of Christ. And until you repent of that and ask forgiveness, you're continuing as an enemy of the cross till you humble yourself and set that matter right. And you set that matter right by going to that person and saying, it may be your wife, I'm sorry for getting angry. Please forgive me. Then you have taken up the cross again. But how many people do that? How many husbands go and apologize to their wives for getting angry? How many wives go and apologize to their husbands for getting angry? It's rare, I tell you, even among believers. They are enemies of the cross. It's very clear to me in Philippians 3:17 and 18. Those who follow Christ and those who are enemies of the cross. You cannot say you follow Christ if you don't take up the cross every single day. That is the meaning of Hebrews 12, verse 2. You say this is a better thing than shutting the mouths of lions and splitting the Red Sea? Yes, the Bible says so. God has provided something better, that we can look at Jesus and run this race, who despised the shame that was set before him, and for the joy that was set before him, and walked in the way the Father wanted him, the will of the Father at every point. So we need to see what this means in practical terms. I want you to turn to John chapter 13. This is the one place where we see Jesus saying these words. In John chapter 4, this is the Last Supper, John 13 to 17. All those chapters are at the Last Supper. It says here, while he was sitting at the table, he told Philip in John 14 and verse 9, he who has seen me has seen the Father. You see, the Philip had come to Jesus and said, show us the Father, and that's enough for us. And Jesus said, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. And what did he do there? He was not talking just about the words he preached. There was something he did there which demonstrated what the Father was like. In John 13, he had washed their feet. That was the job of slaves in those days. In those days, rich people had a slave, at least one in their house. And when people were invited for dinner, you know, those days everybody wore sandals. And they walked the dusty roads and their feet were full of dirt. And so at the door, there'd be a slave with a bucket of water or a basin of water to wash the feet of people when they came in. And that was standard procedure in every rich man's house. Now, when Jesus asked someone to loan him his room, upper room, for them to have their Last Supper, the man, whoever owned that house, kept the table ready, the food, and the basin of water at the door. But no slave, because the Lord Jesus said, I don't want anybody in that room. So even though he had a slave, he didn't send any slave up there. It had to be empty. And all the disciples came, their feet were all dirty, and there was the basin of water, and nobody thought of picking it up and washing anybody's feet. They looked around for a slave. No slave. And everybody was too important to do it himself. Matthew was an accountant. Peter was the leader. John was a relative or known to the high priest. How could they descend to things like this? And Judas was the smartest postgraduate person among the disciples. No, they wouldn't do it. Everybody sits there with dirty feet. You have to wash the feet first before they eat. Jesus, or at some time during the meal, Jesus takes up the basin of water. He says, I'm the slave. You call me Lord and Master. You see what I did? I'm the slave here. He washed their feet as a servant, as a slave. And then he said, if you have seen me, you've seen the Father. You want to know what God is like? There it is. One who washes our feet. One who takes the low place. We think of God as Almighty, who's sitting on the throne, threatening everybody, frightening everybody. No. He who has seen me has seen the Father. I see what the Father is like. It humbles me when I think Almighty God, my Father, manifested in Jesus, comes to wash my dirty feet. I, who am such a sinner from birth, he comes to wash my feet. How dare I ever claim to be a representative of this God and act in any other way? I should be ashamed of myself every time in my life that I have acted in any other way than with this spirit of a servant of others. This willingness to do dirty jobs for others. This willingness to go beneath others and be at their feet. He who has seen me has seen the Father.